This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In working with the heart in our meditation practice, we may discover that we are not receptive to the feelings that arise in that space. In this talk, Reggie discusses the ways we defend against experiences of vulnerability when we judge uncomfortable feelings. This talk was given at the 2016 The Body Loves Retreat, held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
Good morning, everybody. This morning we're going to continue working with our heart. We're going to continue from where Caroline left off yesterday. Sometimes, you know, when we work together, it's more than aligned. And people say, you know, how do you do that? Because we're speaking out of the same space and we're presenting the same exact teachings. And any talk could be given by either one of us. So, you know, how does that work? And the fact is that all of these teachings, we've actually worked out together over the course of the last 10 years. And step by step by step. And so, yeah, it's interesting and certainly nothing I've experienced before, but the teachings that either one of us give are what's been worked out, you know, together. And in this lineage, in India, that is how it was, that you couldn't do this by yourself. I don't know how men in this culture are spiritual teachers and actually can present any kind of whole thing. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't do it. You know, without the counterpoint and the feedback and the mirroring and the constant, you know, all day long, all night long, from a certain point of view, it's all about Dharma, it's all about reality. And you might think it's claustrophobic, and the thing is it is. It's incredibly claustrophobic in a way. But the thing is there's no outside anymore. So it's like claustrophobic compared to what? So, yeah, it's just very interesting, this whole process. And in India, you saw, you know, I'm sure there were gay couples. I'm sure there were all the sexual orientations we know about. The stories are generally about men and women working together, you know, consorts. But anybody can be your consort, you know, it's not necessarily a gender thing. And, you know, these folks, they deliver the lineages, and it was also true in Tibet, in the Nyingma, the householder lineages. And from the viewpoint of the Vajrayana, of the householder lineages, the lay people, which is, you know, lay people and yogis, they kind of went back and forth, but they were not monastic people. The problem with the monastic thing is that you don't have intimate relationships. You don't have consort relationships, and big problem, because it's just you, and that's not good enough. You know, when you teach, it's not how reality works. Reality never has one thing doing one thing. All of reality is about relationality and about things working together from the protons and the electrons all the way up to the whole universe itself. So this morning we're going to continue with the working with the heart, and I need to offer a few words of encouragement along those lines. When we begin to work with our heart, the first thing we run into may very well not be pleasant. And I want to give an example. We got a note that I think illustrates probably what many of us have been feeling, you know, one way or the other, which is, you know, I do the heart practice, I'm breathing into the heart. Now, mind you, we're not opening the heart yet. We're not there yet. All we're doing is just simply trying to become aware of our heart, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. And I said yesterday, don't judge your experience. And I can't emphasize that too much. Do not judge what comes up. And this person said, well, what came up was really yucky, and it was dark, and it was, or maybe, you know, someone else would say, it was just very, very sort of frightening, and felt a lot of anxiety, or it was disgusting, or, you know, whatever it might be. And so I created a different visualization of my heart as being open and flowery and wonderful and bright, and I felt much better. And is that what we're doing? That's not what we're doing. That's spiritual bypassing. And I'm sure we all do it. We've been doing it our whole life. The problem with that is, number one, you're judging your experience. You're putting a negative judgment on something that's painful. You're saying it's bad, and it shouldn't be happening, and I'm not going to put up with it. And so I'm going to do something different. I'm going to put my mind someplace else and pretend that my heart is not what my heart is. That's what spiritual bypassing is. You pretend that you're having an experience that isn't really real. It's just an imagination. So number one is judging. But the second thing is, and this is my question, this entire lineage is about learning to receive what the body offers. Everything from day one until complete and total realization, until you become the universe, and you become all the worlds. That's realization in our lineage. It's big. It's a big realization. That whole journey is all about receiving without judgment, openly and nakedly, and with vulnerability, what the body offers. Our whole life we have been turning against the body. And here we go again. I'm breathing into my heart, and I do not like what's happening, and so I'm going to turn away from it and do something else. And, you know, from a spiritual point of view, it doesn't matter whether that something else is shooting up heroin or creating some lovely visualization that makes you feel better. It's basically the same process of turning away from the body. So we hear about, you know, this is the somatic lineage. This is about practicing somatic meditation. It sounds good. You know, I like my body. I want to connect with my body. But when you get right down to it, it's challenging. Because what we're talking about is receiving openly, nakedly, and with in a complete vulnerability what the body offers us, and trusting it. So in this case, in, you know, working with the heart, whatever is coming up for you, be with it and trust it, and don't do something else. I mean, we can all do something else. That's what the human ego is. Reality is there. It is fully known to us, and we do something else. We dissociate. When we have an experience with our heart that we don't like, makes us uncomfortable, or it isn't what we think should be happening, we dissociate. That's dissociation, creating some alternative visualization that makes you feel better. You see what I'm getting at? And every single person here, including us, everybody has this exact same challenge. Breathe into the heart. I mean, you know, maybe you think, well, we were breathing into the heart in the morning, and then we were breathing into the heart in the afternoon, and then we breathed into the heart again in the afternoon, and then we did in a dyad, and why are we doing this? This is why we're doing it. Because the first thing we need to begin to realize and see for ourselves is that we do not like what's happening. We do not like what the body is offering us. But here's the thing. When we begin to breathe into the heart, the body is showing us how we feel about our heart. That's the first thing you see, is how you feel about your heart. And that's the first thing the body needs us to begin to become aware of. And for most of us, I know it sounds strange because there are a lot of people, you know, I'm all about the heart and, you know, my heart is so open. That's BS. You know, that kind of thing is spiritual bypassing once again. You know, people who present themselves as like a completely open heart, it's bullshit. It's ego once again running its trip. You know, your trip happens to be that your heart is open at all times and you're open to everybody. And, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that is so manipulative to put that on other people, because other people know it's not true. They can see that you're working them. You see what I'm getting at? So whatever, you know, the fundamental reason we are always departing from our heart is because how we feel about it. How we feel about the openness, the vulnerability, and what the heart knows, actually, which we're going to be looking into. So, some of us are so threatened by our heart that we have completely shut down any feeling whatsoever. And that's what we run into. When we start breathing into the heart, we run into completely numb. It's like there's nothing there. Or we feel we have armor or shackles over our heart. Or some of us do feel our heart, but we've learned to associate that vulnerability with shame or with disgust or revulsion or loathing. We loathe our own openness. And so we find this sort of dark, murky, horrible kind of feeling when we start breathing into our heart. And what we're running into is ourselves and how we have, the way in which we have covered over our heart. The open heart is the awakened state. So if you're sitting here and thinking, well, my heart, you know, now that I'm looking at it, my heart's really not that open, don't feel bad. You're among friends. You know, we all have that problem. But we have covered over the heart in different ways, and that's what we're going to run into right off. So the heart, in its own state of being, is the awakened state. The heart is the center of the mandala of the human person. Its own state of being is vast, it's infinite, and it is filled, so to speak, with the knowledge of the totality as it is. It's intimate, it's personal, and there's a sense of connection with everything in the universe. It's a knowledge that the ego really can't handle. And that's why we've covered over, because, you know, we say it's this trauma or that trauma. It's not that easy. It's actually the trauma of simply being human, that to be born and to grow up in a society of primates, and to begin to make relationships with the other primates, because, you know, for us, we're not one-celled organisms, that, you know, they also have their relationality, but it's not complicated for them, it's simple. But for us, it's very complicated. And coming into that world, we have to shut down and we have to begin to kind of, you know, develop the capacity to be within a group of other primates. in this case humans. And that involves losing touch with the vastness of the human heart. And what we're doing now is we're making the journey back. The difference between a newborn baby and a realized person is the newborn baby doesn't include the totality in his or her awareness, and a realized person does. But the state of the heart probably isn't that different. But the heart includes everything in a conscious and feeling way for a realized person.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Kechog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.